Very excited to have Steph speaking to us all. Let's give Steph a big, big warm round. Steph, come on down.
Thanks, Paul. Good morning, everyone. He is risen. So good to gather together on Easter morning and to pull our resources and to lift one voice to the name of Jesus on Easter Sunday. I don't know whether you know this or not. For some of you, perhaps, that are guests that are not used to going to church, the reason why churches tend to meet on a Sunday historically is because that's the day of the resurrection. That's the first day of the week. So on one level, every Sunday when we gather, we're celebrating the resurrection. But there's a special time when we gather once a year to make an emphasis on it, to rejoice and celebrate together. And what I want to do today is just track the last week of Jesus' life through to the resurrection, make a few comments. And hopefully, my hope is this, that if you don't know Jesus, that it will introduce you to him, that it will be a way of seeing him maybe for the first time. But if you do know Jesus, maybe you've known him for years, that you'll see him freshly, that the Holy Spirit will open your heart and your eyes freshly to see him. That's my prayer, and that's what I'm going to ask the Lord to do now. So, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the account we have, inspired by the Holy Spirit, of your Son. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, that you'd help me. I'm going to ask you, Lord, that you'd help me to speak in such a way, Lord, as to be able to use my words and bring them to life in people's hearts. I pray you would touch people today. Lord, you can touch us in the deepest place. You can touch the whole man, the whole woman, the whole being. I pray you would do that, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd do some amazing things. Thank you for the way you've already lifted our heart in praise and worship. I pray you'd continue to captivate us and fascinate us as we look at Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to start with Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. You see, Jesus spent the 3 years of his public ministry in a place that was no bigger than modern-day Wales, and he travelled up and down, but before the final week of his life, he entered the city of Jerusalem. And many of you will know that he entered on a donkey. And the scripture says this, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." Now, people have different ways of introducing themselves, of making an entrance. I don't know if any of you watched the boxing last night, but boxers know how to make an entrance for themselves. The name will go up in lights and the music will play and there will be a big talk beforehand about how amazing they are by themselves. Normally, they will give that talk about how amazing they are. And then it's the whole thing is full of deliberate self-aggrandizement. It's full of this whole bigging yourself up thing in order to intimidate your opponent. We see something very, very different here with Jesus. "Behold, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey." It's essentially pretty unimpressive, and yet the crowds went wild. Here's this man on a donkey, and yet we see that in the run-up to the city, people were pulling off palm leaves and laying them down, and even throwing their very cloaks and coats down, and they were crying out this word. Who knows the word they were shouting out? Hosanna. And Hosanna means save, rescue. It's at one time a celebration. He is the one that can rescue us. And at the same time, a prayer, rescue us. They saw beyond this unimpressive sight to the king, to the king. They understood the true reality of what was going on. And there's something about Jesus whereby on one level, he's pretty unimpressive, deliberately so. We're told that he wasn't handsome in any way. There was nothing that would have attracted you to him naturally. You wouldn't have taken a second look. In fact, so much so that when they came to arrest him, Judas had to kiss Jesus because there was no way of differentiating between him and the other disciples. He was deliberately unimpressive. It was the plan of God, because we tend to get so caught up with appearance. God did it another way. And yet the crowd saw something, they understood, their prophets had prophesied, your king will come on a donkey. And Jesus sat on this donkey as a sign of saying, I am here to fulfill the prophecy. This is true heavyweight stuff. When you see Jesus, you've got to look beyond just the humble man on the donkey and see the king. But some people see the humility and they don't like it. They can't get beyond it. They say, well, surely the king, it shouldn't be like this. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm coming on a donkey because I want you to realize that the way of this world, with all of its self-promotion and self-importance and self-aggrandizement, that's changing. This is a different kingdom. It's going to happen in a different way. Will we receive the humble king? You see, pride needs beating in our life. Pride needs defeating in our hearts. And so Jesus chose to come in an opposite spirit. He comes in the spirit of humility, and in doing so, offers a chance to rescue us from our pride and self-importance. What a king. And he gets into the city, and then the first thing he does, what is the first thing this humble king do? Well, he goes into the temple, he looks around, and he goes, And then he goes and he makes a scourge, he makes a whip. And the second thing he does, he clears the temple. He turns over the tables. Imagine in our lovely fellowship lunch later, we're all sitting around and suddenly someone storms in and starts turning over the tables. I mean, it's not polite, folks. It's not polite. He turns the tables and he drives them out. This is the humble king. This humble king is now something, may I say it, of a violent king. He comes in and he turns and he drives them out. So much so that they say to him, who gave you this authority? But why does Jesus do this? Here's why Jesus does this. Jesus goes into the temple, which back in that day was to be the house of God, and they've turned it into a place of business. And he looks around and he says, this isn't what this is. And in order for this to become what this is supposed to be, we got to get this stuff out. In order for this place to realize what its true identity is, we got to clear a whole load of stuff out. And so he drives it all out. And he says, the scripture says this, Jesus says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You're making it a robber's den or a place of business. Jesus says, the house of God is a place where we fellowship with God. The house of God isn't a place where we come and do business or we come and make money from one another. That's not what we're about. We're about something very, very different. And here we see Jesus is the only one who, if you will let him, will help you to realize who you truly are. If you allow him to clear out all the junk. What's your junk? What is it? What gets in the way? What are you putting in the way? Is it money? Is it money? Is it just you just want to accumulate more and more? You've got this plan. Maybe you're here today as I'm talking now. I feel that the Spirit is showing me that there's a number of individuals here. And basically, you've got this thing in your head of this is what my life is going to look like. I'm going to accomplish this, this, and this. But you know what? The things you're going for are temporary things. Things Jesus says they're going to spoil, rust, and fade. You begin to put those things as your goal, your all in life. They will disappoint you. Why don't you let Jesus come in and just go, whoosh, let me show you who you really are. Let me show you what you were really made for, that you were made to know me, that you were made to know God, that you're made to have fellowship with God. Jesus can show you who you truly are. Will you let him? And then he moves from the temple, and he decides the night before his arrest that he will have a final supper with his disciples. And here's where it starts to get really uncomfortable. You thought turning over tables was uncomfortable. Now it gets really uncomfortable. They get ready for their Passover meal, at which point Jesus takes off his outer garment and wraps a towel around him and then begins to do the work of a slave. Now please put yourself in the disciples' shoes or sandals for just a moment. You're sitting around and the master begins to act like a slave, and he gets a bowl of water and he comes along and he starts to wash your feet. Now, feet are funny things at the best of times. Feet are funny things after they've been washed. But in this dry and dusty climate where you're wearing open kind of footwear, it's grimy, it's dirty, it's not a pretty sight. And Jesus says, let me wash you. Let me wash you. And Peter says, no way. Are you touching my feet? Anyone here sympathize with Peter? Hold on a minute. Whoa. There's no way you're going to wash my feet. Jesus says this. Here, you have to listen to this. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Oh. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. So many people think that the whole thing with God starts with serving him. Trying to do a load of stuff to kind of get right with God or what am I going to do for God? Listen, that's not bad. That's not wrong, but it's not where it starts. Here's where it starts. It starts with Jesus serving you and washing you. Can feel the level of discomfort rising in the room. Because it's counterintuitive. It's not what we like naturally. Naturally, we like to feel like, I guess, that we have something to contribute, that we have something to bring, that, you know, our fear says, if I've got nothing to offer, where does that leave me? If I can't contribute something, who am I? Pride says, surely what I've got to bring is the most important thing. And Jesus says, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Will you let Jesus wash your feet? What does that mean? Here's what it means. Will you let Jesus serve you? Will you let him serve you? Will you let him serve you by laying down his life for you? Will you let him serve you by coming to you with his love and forgiveness? Will you let him, or are you going to jump to, let me see what I can do for you, Lord? Because Jesus says, whoa, 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 we may get there, but we're not going to start there. Here's how we're going to start. I'm going to wash your feet. Please look at your feet, everyone, where you're sitting. Have a quick look at your feet. And then think, are you going to let Jesus serve you and wash you? This is ever such an important question. Because coming to know God involves letting him serve you, letting him wash you. It's uncomfortable. It gets to bits in us that other things don't get. But here's the reality. If you don't let him cleanse you, you remain dusty, you remain dry, you remain cracked, you remain beaten up. Jesus, as he washes you and serves you, can bring healing, can bring wholeness, can bring recovery, can bring balm, can bring life and restoration back to you. It's what he does. He's kneeling at your feet and he's saying, can I serve you? Will you let me? And at the end of this message, there may be some of you in this room, you've never really got that. Maybe because you've never heard it, or maybe you've always thought, I thought it was about what we did for God. No one's, for whatever reason, the penny's never dropped. You've never heard anyone really say to you, he's never heard it in your heart. You've never heard anyone say, no, Jesus serves you first. That's what happens first. He comes to you. He loves you. He washes you. And you simply sit there. Just sit there. And you let him do it. You let him do it. Some of you, you're so quick. You're up on your feet. I'll help. I'll do that. Hold on. Sit. And let him wash you. Just let him wash you. You may have wonderful gifts to bring. Amazing contributions. I'm sure you have. It's not where it starts. You sit. You let him wash you. You let him cleanse you. So important. Can't hear it enough. Even if you've heard it and you know it and you're like, yeah, I'm up for that. You can't hear it enough. From there, they go to the garden where Jesus is arrested. Judas comes along with a crowd, a mob, and Jesus says, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? Such a sad moment. Judas was one of his 12 closest followers. He betrays Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. He brings a mob with him to the garden, all armed and ready to fight. And he says to them, the one I kiss, that's the one. He goes up and he kisses him. And Jesus sees right through it. You're betraying me with a kiss. But I tell you what, you know what? It gets worse. Because many of the other disciples ran. They forsook him. Another one spent the night denying that he even knew him. In fact, the one who did best was John. John did best. But what did John do? Well, here's really all that John did. John followed as closely as he dared and watched. Now, this is a really important point. John was probably did best on that night. The others, it was a shambles. But all John did was follow as closely as he dared and watch. Now, it's a very important point. Why? Here's why. Because Jesus and Jesus alone is doing this thing. The best one could simply watch. That's all you can do. At the end of the day, when it all boils down, we look at Jesus and we go, wow, you're amazing. Wow, look at your composure. Look at your courage. Look at your devotion to the Father. Look at your humility. Jesus, you're amazing. We look at him. We watch him. On our best days, all we're really doing is going, wow, you're stunning. There's no one like you. This is it. This is it. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I'm much worse than that. I've betrayed him. Maybe you're saying, I've forsaken him. Maybe you're saying, I've denied him. We all live with the reality of our weakness, the reality of our failings. We all do. All of us do. All of us do. Even the Johns among us, even those of you that are naturally courageous and naturally joyful and naturally you've got a lot about you that commends yourself, and you know, the Johns among you, you're the best ones among us. You're the best ones here. At the end of the day, when it comes to Jesus, all you can do is stand by and go, Wow, because he's in a league of his own brothers and sisters. He's in a completely different league from any one of us. There has never been anyone like him. Tempted in every way. Tempted in every way, yet without sin. Stunning. Don't you love him? Isn't he outrageously good? And when we see him, we find our proper place and we say, you know what? I recognize now it's not all about me. And there's certain things in myself I've got to get over myself about. And there's certain things I've got to just get things in, like, because I've seen him and he feels my gaze now and I'm going to find my proper place. And so then they go from the garden and then Jesus gets interrogated. He's interrogated by Pilate. He's interrogated by Herod. And they're trying to, and he's interrogated by the chief priests, and they're trying to get him to trap himself with his words. Jesus says this to Pilate. Pilate says, don't you know that I've got authority to release you or to sentence you to death? Jesus says this, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you from above. Jesus remains with utter composure during his interrogation. He knows who's in charge. And as a result, as he is submitted to his Father, Jesus remains in charge the whole time. He's intimidated by no one. Read the accounts. It's magnificent. He won't even answer Herod. He won't even give him an answer. The only person to ever receive silent treatment from Jesus is King Herod. Won't even respond. Pilate just gets a lot of answers that leave him totally bewildered because he knows he's doing the wrong thing. And the chief priest ends up tearing his clothes. Jesus, utterly composed the whole time. What a king. What a king. Is he worthy of our praise? Of course he is. He says the King of Kings. You know what? Jesus himself said, at any moment, I could have called 72,000 angels and they would have come and rescued me. 12 legions, 72,000. At any moment, he knew it and he chose not to. He stayed the course. He went through it the whole time. He allowed these puppet kings and pretenders to exercise their pathetic authority because he knew that he had to go to the cross. He knew that he had to go through this in order to rescue us. He came to offer himself for us completely. But you need to know today, Jesus is no victim. Jesus is no victim. On one level, he may have been like a rose trampled in the ground. On one level. On another level, while he's being crucified, he is defeating every power of darkness in the whole of creation. It's not a defeat. It's an absolute victory. Every oppressive, vile, unjust, dark power is being disarmed and publicly exposed at the cross. This is what he's doing. He's winning for you. He's winning for me. He's going all the way with utter composure for us. He's going all the way. He's facing down every other authority so he can do what? Die. Which takes us to the cross, the penultimate place we're going to go today. Jesus crucified. So we see, number one, Jesus is humble as he enters the city of Jerusalem. Then we see Jesus shows us who we truly are as the house of God. Then we see that he comes to serve us and to wash us. Then we see Jesus alone saves us. The best we can do is stand by and watch. And then we see Jesus is utterly in charge. And then at the cross we see this. Jesus prays for clowns and fools. There they are mocking him. If only they knew. If only they knew. They're mocking him. Ah, get yourself down if you're the Son of God. You think, oh, goodness me. What are you saying? And they're casting lots and throwing dice for his clothes. And Jesus' words, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus sees us in our lostness. He sees us in our blindness. He sees us in our foolish words. And he prays that we might be forgiven. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? Isn't he amazing? How do you know? How do you know if this prayer of Jesus has been answered for you? Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How will you know if Jesus' prayer has been answered? Here's how you will know. You will find yourself repenting of your sin. If any of you have ever said, Father, forgive me in the name of Jesus for the things I've done wrong, that is Jesus' prayer from the cross answered. He brings us to that place where we realize, do you know what? The thing I need more than anything else is forgiveness. Forgiveness paves the way for reconciliation with God. Only forgiveness, only as we come and we come to the cross and we ask for that gift, of that free gift of forgiveness bought for us by Jesus. Only as we do that will we experience it. If you're sitting here and you're saying, I don't need forgiveness, I want to say to you as tenderly and as kindly as I can. You are blind. You are blind. We are all so desperately needy of forgiveness. I need forgiveness hourly. I need forgiveness. I'm so lost without Jesus. I'm so lost and so blind without Jesus. I'm so proud without Jesus. I'm so embarrassingly contradictory. I say one thing and then I do something else without Jesus. I'm so self-important without Jesus. I'm so harsh without Jesus. I need Jesus. I need him desperately. I need him. I feel I need him more today than I've ever needed him. I said to Jesus about 26, 27 years ago, I said, Jesus, I'm all yours. I didn't even know the right words to say. And I tried praying before and it didn't seem to have worked. I had no clever ideas, but I simply said, Lord, here I am. I'm all yours. And you know what? He's so kind. He's because of the cross where he paid for my sin. He answered me and he forgave me and he made me brand new. Jesus prays for clowns and fools. If you'll admit you're in one of those categories, you might well find yourself forgiven. If you hold on to the fact that you know best and, you know, you don't need it, well then, I guess essentially you don't find it. But as we humble ourselves and say, Lord, I see my need, you know what? He comes. And this brings us to the final point, because he dies. And then 3 days later, we realize that he's been raised from the dead. And what happens is that rumors begin to travel around among the community of disciples that the tomb is empty, because some of the women went early and they were gonna treat his body with spices and things, but they get there and the stone's rolled away and no one's in there, and there's these appearances of people they don't quite know who it is, and rumors start to fly, and the disciples hear about it, and they run to the tomb and they look inside the tomb, and there's an angel in there, and this is one of the most wonderful lines in the whole of the Bible. You know what I'm going to say, those of you that have been reading your Bible for years, this wonderful phrase: why do you look for the living among the dead? I mean, it's wonderful, isn't it? You're in a tomb, you're looking for Jesus. Why do you look for the living among the dead? And there's that moment where you realize, oh my goodness, he's risen from the dead. He is alive. He'd been placed there because he had been dead. Now, it's really important you understand that. He didn't faint or swoon on the cross. He died. It's really important you realize that, because death is the final enemy. And he took death on. And once he died, the Bible says that death couldn't hold him. Death had nothing on him. The reason why death can hold every one of the rest of us is because there's something to grip onto. There's sin. There's blame. Death can hold us. Jesus dies. Death can't hold him. There's no sin there. So he beats death in that moment. And then they remembered here. They remember Jesus saying things. He's predicting the Son of Man's going to be handed over and he's going to die. But on the third day, he will rise again. And they begin to remember the things that he has said. And they go and look for him, because he died yesterday, but now things have changed. You see, yesterday he was dead, but today he's alive. Now, as I'm preparing this, I felt the Lord just quicken my heart with this idea. Yesterday he's dead, but today he's alive. Memories do matter. Yesterday does matter. And you know, something can happen yesterday and it can lock you up, whether that's yesterday or 10 years ago, and it can lock up your whole life. A tragedy, a mistake. And you think, ah, and it sits there, and there's a pain around it, and there can be feel like there's death around it, and it does matter. But you know, you can stay there. And the disciples, that's what they were. But he was dead. That's why we're looking here. Yeah, that was yesterday, but it's not yesterday anymore. It's today, and today's resurrection day. Today is Jesus' alive day. Today it's changed. It's no longer what it was. It's now something new. It's something different. And what happens is that they're being defined by yesterday. And it's like, no. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? You need to be defined by today. Now Jesus is alive. And that means so much for us. It means so much for the whole of creation. But it means so much for us in this room today, that today is the day of resurrection and salvation. Yesterday can help us to get to today. Yesterday's good because it helps us get to today. But you can get stuck there and get locked up there. That is not the will of God for us. Let your yesterday get you to today. Because once you're in today, then you can think about tomorrow and the bright future that God has for us. It's so important that you understand this, that we all understand this. It can sound a bit cryptic. It can sound, what's that got? Yesterday, today. Here's what I'm saying. These days, these literal days in the Bible, they are literal days, but they can mean so much more. And I felt like, here's how I want to end the message today. I just feel for some, it's like you've got to leave yesterday behind. If you're going to really find Jesus in a fresh way, you've got to leave it behind. And for some, that what I might be saying there may be huge. You may be sitting there thinking, what are you talking? Do you realize? No, I don't. I don't know everyone's story. I don't know. But what I do know is this. On behalf of God, in Christ, there is a bright future for you. I know that. And I can tell you that from my heart and with confidence. And I feel that today the Lord just wants to deliver people that are in some way not totally engaging with the wonder of today, Jesus being alive, resurrection, and what that means for the future because of yesterday. And I can speak, I'll end with, I guess, my own personal story on this, really. I would say that for me, there was a season in my life as a Christian, as a believer, where I was stuck on yesterday. There were certain things that had gone on around a certain period of time that caused immense and confusing pain, disorientating pain. And you know when you can't get over it and you replay and you replay and you replay and you think, oh man, this is, it's like, it became so familiar. It was like almost my daily thing. And it was a dead end. It was such a terrible dead end. And I didn't know what to do. And you know, I brought it to the Lord and things. And God's very, our Father's very merciful and kind. And he knows how to deal with us. And his timing is a bit mysterious and all of that. But what I do know, and I can stand before you today and testify, and I'm being just perfectly honest here. I'm not making it bigger than it is. I want you to know that I was someone who, as a believer in Jesus, I was stuck. I was stuck in yesterday. I still knew the Lord, still loved the Lord, but there were some things that happened. I'd kind of stumbled over them, and I didn't know how to get up and how to genuinely resolve it in God, so that I could rediscover joy and fruitful moving forward. And the Lord helped me. He really helped me. He really did. And I'm not saying it was always the most straightforward thing, but you know what? I just know today that the Lord wants to help some people out of yesterday and into today and into tomorrow. That tomorrow doesn't just become a rerun of yesterday, but it becomes a new trajectory in a new direction. So maybe we're going to ask for a response before we end with some celebration. And here's what I'm going to ask for. It may be that some of you, you've kind of never met the living Jesus. I'm not talking about having a religion on your birth certificate or, you know, even going to church as good as it is. I'm saying you've never met the living Jesus. You've never turned away from darkness and sin and living without him. And you've never bowed the knee. You might have bowed the knee to all kinds of other things. You know, we become so fixated with all kinds of things, don't we? But you've never looked at Jesus and said, Jesus, I'm bowing the knee to you. I want you to be enthroned in my heart. When you do that, he liberates you. And everything else we bow the knee to enslaves us. When we bow the knee to Christ, he liberates us. And just a chance for you today to say, you know what? I want to enter into today. I want to start a new life in Christ. What I did all those years ago. You won't regret it. I can assure you of that. So in a moment, when I ask people to stand, if that's you, I want to ask you to stand and you know, to just as a way of saying, Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to live for you. But also, there'll be many disciples in the room, many brothers and sisters. You love the Lord. You love the Lord. But you, when I talk about yesterday, you know what I'm getting at. There's something you think, oh, I just want to say before God today, I'm not going to spend my life replaying that or going around that. And I think for some of you, it's probably pretty straightforward things. I think for a few in the room, it's probably mountains. It's like you're like, man alive, that's defined my whole last decade. Okay, there's grace in the room for every situation. There's enough grace in Jesus. And I guess what I'm asking you to do is really to just say, Lord, I'm not going to be yesterday's man, yesterday's woman. I want to live in today and tomorrow. And I want to offer up my yesterday and ask you to heal it, Lord. And ask you to cleanse it. And ask you to break its power so that it no longer has that power over my spirit, thoughts, heart. Because I want to live in. That lightness that he has for us. Does that make sense? Yeah. I know it's deep stuff. You think, oh, why couldn't he just, I don't know, say some fun things? What's more important is when we walk out of this room. The Lord gathers us like this so we can love him together and so he can equip us for what happens when we get out there. That's right, isn't it? It's so great being together. There's so much joy and peace and heart. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You know, it's a taste, isn't it, of the future age. where we're going to be together in rich fellowship and just all about the same thing, which is him. It's a wonderful foretaste of that. But actually, you know, there's a world to be won. There's multitudes that have never really heard about Jesus in the truest sense. And the Bible says we're living letters. We're like letters written. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, it's like we're letters. People read us. For some, we will be the only Bible some people read. And so it's so important that we let the Lord deal with us in deep ways, so that, because the Bible says out of the heart flow the springs of life. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we let God deal with us in these deep ways. Then when we're living life, when we're doing the Monday to Saturday, then there's that overflow. There's that outspill. People are smelling Jesus on us. And that's so, so important that we enjoy fellowship, but that we remember we're a people that have been commissioned, aren't we? To spread the good news of Christ. So we've got to let the Lord keep working on us so we can spread out that fragrance of Jesus more and more. So if you know that, you know, one way or another, something that I've said, you're thinking, yeah, I want to, it's a bit of a moment today to start anew today with Jesus. Start anew today and leave yesterday. But I want to do it in bowing the knee to Jesus. I want to do that. And I'm going to ask where you are. I'm going to ask you to be very brave. And you're not doing it primarily in front of me or anyone, so don't worry about that. But do it before the Lord. Where you are, stand to your feet, and you just do that before the Lord. Then I'm going to lift you up in prayer. We're going to respond to God. So I'm going to just give a minute or so for people to do that. Just really sense the tender mercies of the Lord in this room. He really cares. He really cares. He really cares. Lord, thank you for the way you washed your disciples' feet. I'm just going to ask now, Lord, that by your Spirit, you would wash the feet, spiritually speaking. Lord, we're life. You know, we walk on our feet, they get hard, they get crusty, they get mangled, they get dry, they get smelly. Lord, as we go through life, that's what often happens. I want to pray for just a lovely, beautiful cleansing work of your Spirit, Lord. Even just across this room. Please just look to the Lord. If you're standing for the first time, if today you're standing to give your life to Jesus, in just a moment, I'm going to just ask you to call on him. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be rescued. Just to call out, Lord Jesus, rescue me. Lord Jesus, rescue me. He'll hear you. It's really good advice to tell others you've done that afterwards. But it starts with you and him, where you say, Jesus, Lord Jesus, I bow the knee. Jesus, rescue me. What would be great is we just okay. I was going to ask the band to come, but there's some of them are standing. So you folk, no, you it's fine. You're doing business with God. If there's a musician that hasn't stood, that's able to just play the keyboards for a couple of minutes, that'd be really helpful. If you haven't stood, if you stood to respond to the Lord, please don't come. Because what I'm going to do, I'm going to just ask those of you that know and love the Lord already, as the music plays, just tell him. Really specifically why you've stood. Really lay it out. Don't be vague with the Lord. Be specific. Really name it. Tell him. If you've got to confess some stuff, tell him. Just really, you might say, well, he knows already. I know that. But he wants relationship. And in relationship, you communicate. You tell the person because it's how your hearts draw together. So it's not about giving him information. It's about drawing him into your soul. It's about telling him what's going on. That's how intimacy. Some of you, you've looked around and you've looked at people that have looked so intimate with the Lord and you said, why isn't it like that for me? Yeah, you've got to open your heart. You've got to actually open your heart. That's the scary bit. But when you do that, wow, he's the lover of your soul. He's so kind. He's so tender. And those of you that have never done this before, you've never prayed before, you've never prayed in this way, you've never said, Jesus, I want to follow you, then... Now, as these other guys are praying and they're just talking to the Lord, I want you to just stand up and say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Lord Jesus, I want to ask you to forgive me for my sins. Lord Jesus, I let you right into the very depths of my heart and I want you to be Lord and I want you to be on the throne there, nothing else. Just tell him in your own words. But basically you're saying, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord. And you may want to bow down on your knee just because as a way of saying, Lord, I'm not going to bow the knee to this anymore or that anymore. My image, what I look like, or, you know, this celebrity or this. I'm going to bow my knee to you, Jesus, because I want you to be the Lord of my heart. As you do that, you know, he sees the heart and he loves it when you're honest from your heart. So as the keyboard's playing out, I want to ask you guys, Speak out to the Lord. Speak out. You haven't got to do it loud, but speak out. Speak it out to the Lord. Make it really specific. Tell him about it. Tell him. And those of us that aren't standing up, let's pray for those that are. It's just like a lovely cacophony, a noise, raise up to the Lord now. So then no one's self-conscious. We all just actually talk to the Lord. Let's just do that for a couple of minutes. Lord, we thank you for you're the best. You're the best, Lord. You're just the best. And all the best of us can do is stand and look and go, wow, you're amazing. You're amazing. And I thank you that you are here by your Spirit and you are bringing healing and you are bringing cleansing and you are bringing forgiveness and you are bringing new life. Wow, the things you're doing across this room, Lord, is thrilling. Absolutely thrilling. I thank you, Lord, for the comfort you're bringing to many. You were just sitting down, but you're just bringing your comfort and your strength to them. I feel for some of you, he's assuring you of the prayers you've been praying, that the answer's coming, that your prayers are not falling on deaf ears. Thank you, Lord. You're so faithful, Lord. We do honour you here. We do lift you up. We do bless you and love you. And thank you. You love it when we're real and honest with you, because you're so real. No pretense with you. And I pray, Lord, as we sing and to you now, Lord, and just bless you and lift up your name with one voice. Oh, Lord, I pray that we just sense your pleasure. We just sense your nearness. I pray we just sense your Spirit working in our hearts. It'd be a very, very, very significant Easter day for many, many in this room. Many in this room. So we're going to sing, and you know, you might feel the Lord still just doing something in your heart, and you don't want to sing, you want to just stand there. The Lord's just touching you and bringing healing and hope and restoration. Just let him do whatever he's doing. Let him do what he's doing. But I'm sure some of us will want to also just sing. It'd be great if we all stand to our feet, and then we'll let the band lead us for this next bit.
It'd be really helpful if you could try and sit nearer the front, if you wouldn't mind, that'd be really kind, so that when guys arrive, there's seats for them. That'd be really kind of you. So if you could just shuffle forward, move forward a bit. Besides which, they always say it all happens on the front rows. Everything, it seems that everything happens on the front rows. So it's good to be near the front. I want to welcome you. If you're from Revelation Church, if you're from Chalk Farm Baptist, if you're from New Life, if you're visiting today, welcome, 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 welcome. Come and grab yourself a seat. I wonder if you would just join me a bit by standing. Let's stand together. Stand together, please. And can you just turn to the person next to you, greet them, say Happy Easter, shake their hand, say hi. A very big welcome this morning. Very big welcome. Lovely to welcome you wherever you're from. Whatever church, if you're just visiting today, welcome. Big welcome. Guys, listen, this morning we're very privileged because we've got Jules and the team. Let's give Jules and the team a big, big round. Oh, yes. Amen. We're looking forward to an amazing Easter celebration. Let's pray together. Let's pray and welcome, right at the beginning of this morning, let's welcome the presence of Jesus amongst us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that together as churches, together as your church, your wonderful, beautiful church, that as we gather today, we want to ask, would you do something in us and through us? Would you come by the power of your Holy Spirit? Would you reveal Jesus, more of the wonderful love and life and power and presence of Jesus? And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. This is your church. This is your place. This is where you are welcome this morning. Would you turn this school assembly hall into the very house of God? Would you come by the presence of your Holy Spirit and do something amazing amongst us this morning? Inspire us, move us, stir us, that we would worship, we would praise, we would be filled with thanksgiving this morning. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Jules.
Just wave it to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just put our hands together for this King. He's alive. He's here today. He's the reason for this great celebration. Amen. Please take your seat for a minute. Let me continue this service by sharing with you a testimony. About 16 years ago, I had a lovely uncle called Jacob. Jacob was the best of all my uncles because everything I wanted, Jacob gave it to me. He even paid my school fees. He was all the help I will always need. In my third year, I ran to Jacob again. Uncle, it's time for fees. It was on a Thursday. And he said to me, okay, I'm traveling. I'll be back on Sunday evening. Come and see me at home and I'll give you your fee. His words were strong like before. Because every time he said it, he did it. So I had 100% assurance that on Sunday night, I'm picking up my fees and going back to school. Came Sunday, went to his house. He wasn't home. The wife said, oh, he traveled. He's not back yet. He'll be back in about 2 hours, 5 hours, 7 hours. He wasn't back. Midnight, he wasn't back. I said, okay, maybe he'll be back early as tomorrow morning. I'll just sleep here. So I slept there. And by 6 in the morning, there was a knock on the door. It was the police. They said, we're sorry, madam. There was an accident yesterday and your husband has died. My helper was dead. The one that paid all my fees was dead. The one that I looked upon for everything that life was offering me was dead. My education was going to stop. My life was going to cease. A week later, Uncle Jacob was buried amidst tears. And as we left the cemetery on our way home, there was no hope. That's why in the book of Mark, when the Bible spoke about Jesus, that he died, and all the disciples turned their back against him and they were walking away. It was natural because help was gone. But Jesus wasn't going to remain dead. The Bible says on the dawn of the third day, he arose again. The hope was restored. Everything that was lost was given back. Jesus is alive today. He was alive yesterday. He will be alive tomorrow. Come on, stand upon your feet and shout hallelujah. This Jesus is not dead. Our hope is not lost. Everything we have is restored. Oh, the Bible says in the book of Psalms 146 and verse 5, it said, blessed are those whose help is God. Because even if he dies, he's coming back alive. Even if you've lost it, he's giving it back to you. Even if you're confused, he's restoring hope. Please, come on, let's clap for this Jesus. Oh, we have a God that is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you because we are not lost. Thank you because our hope is not dead. Thank you because whenever we look upon you, we see newness of life. You died that we may live. You rose that we may find a path. You ascended into heaven so that we can have a place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you because today we can celebrate life. Thank you because our heart is lifted up to heavens. Because our God liveth. Jesus said to them, he says, go and tell the disciple, I am risen. I am alive. The Bible says yesterday he was dead, but today he's alive. He's here with us. He's in this assembly this morning. He's our victorious King. He's our resurrected God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's the same forever. Come on, hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Grab a seat. Fantastic, John. Thanks for your African encouragement this morning. Fantastic. More is coming. Joe, let's give Joe a big round. Come on down, Joe. Tell us. Here she comes.
Oh, dear. How are we supposed to follow that? Goodness me. Fantastic. I love it. Peter is coming up. We've got something for the children. We're going to do a kids' song. And this is for, well, it's for all of us. But if you're in primary age, we'd love you to come up in a second. I think quite a lot of our own guys are away. So we're hoping that lots of the other children might come up and help us. Do you want to introduce? This is Peter, and he's going to introduce the song.
The song's called My Wonderful God. Yeah, word's going to be there. The way I like to think of the actions and everything, I think Nick said one time that Jesus is like our super sub. I do like my football, so I thought of some actions to this, and I thought of some easy ways to understand it. So if we go in the chorus, we clap the first two lines above our heads. Jesus, he's just come on, scored an absolute worldie. You know, he's finished the game, clapping off the fans. He's just come off. Second lyric, we'll go, give my full attention as he scored the goal. It's a worldie, so he punches the air, easy way to remember it. I will listen for his voice, taunting the away fans. He's listening. That's an easy way to remember him, and I really like the lyrics. Just the whole thing of living for God, just being submissive to God. Then the verses are just describing God. You know, my Jesus, we do that with one hand, that points to heaven. Couldn't think of any actions with football, couldn't think of anything. My Saviour, make the cross of your arms. My Wonderful, rolling that hands action. My God, both hands. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Let's try it. Kids, you want to come up? Anyone primary age, anyone smaller than me? Victor, you want to come up?
John, Joel, Joanna, we need some help here. Sinan, Matteo, anyone? Well done. Abigail, Denzel. If you're in primary school and you just want to come and help us, you're welcome. But you don't have to. I knew Peter was a loose cannon. I had no idea about the football analogy there. I hope you've roughly got the action. So you're clapping above your heads for the first bit. Then you're punching the air for the second bit. And then I can't even remember. The wonderful God. He went through the actions. These guys know them, we hope. Steph's looking very confused. There's going to be a big... it should come up over here, okay? Can they see? Do you want to just move over a little bit? Brilliant. Denzel, Abigail, come over here. Come in the middle. Let's move this. We need you on your feet because we need you to join. We learnt from this that Revelation love actions. So we're hoping you're going to support us. It's an amazing song about Jesus that we've been singing over the last few weeks. Brilliant. Let's go. We need it loud, really quite loud.
Okay, we're at capacity today. So two things. I wonder if there's any spare seats, if there are any spare seats near you. Could you just put your hand up so we see if any spare seats? Fantastic. Could you just move in, bunch in towards the inside, so we just get some space at the sides? If there are any spare seats, just bunch in a little bit. That'd be really kind, because I know there's some more people still coming. So just bunch in. If you're on that side, bunch towards the middle. If you're on this side, just bunch, just move in a little bit, so we leave some seats at the side for those who are going to come who might be late. Fantastic. We're going to take our offering now, and if you are from Revelation Church and bring an offering, then if you get an envelope over from the information point there and write Revelation on it, put it in the bucket. If you're from Chalk Farm Baptist Church, get an envelope, put Chalk Farm Baptist Church, put it in the bucket. If you're from New Life, just put it in the bucket. So we're going to give our offerings this Easter time as we praise and worship. Let's stand together as we celebrate, as we worship, as we love Jesus. This morning, if you're from Revelation Church, very welcome. Lovely to see you. Chalk Farm Baptist Church, lovely to see you. From New Life, lovely to see you. If you're visiting, your first time here, welcome. If you are an ECOS visitor, very welcome too. Be fantastic. Could you grab yourselves a seat, please? Now today is a special day. It's a special day because it's Easter and we're celebrating. We're enjoying being together as churches. It's God's people gathered together today. But it's also a special day because it's a birthday for a number of people. And in fact, a year today, a young lady down the front here was born. She's 1 year old. Let's give a big hand for Oriofe. Come on down. Come on. Here she is. She's 1 year ago. 1 year today. Amazing story that Elizabeth, mum here, was having her celebration, her baby shower celebration, and it was a good number of weeks. It was about 4 weeks before Oriofe, 5 weeks before Oriofe was due, and she just started the ladies got together to celebrate and to pray and to really enjoy. And as the celebration started, she suddenly felt a twinge in her tummy. And she was absolutely adamant it was not labour pains. She was absolutely adamant she was going to enjoy her party. But Oriofe had other ideas. And she decided to come early. And praise God, she's healthy and wonderful. And so it's fantastic today to be able to celebrate this first birthday. Also, we've got Abigail and Maria's birthday. Come on down too. Okay, anybody else today? 1st of April. Anyone else on a 1st of April birthday? No, Maureen, yours isn't the 1st of April. Anyone else? No. Okay, we're going to sing Happy Birthday, and we're going to sing Happy Birthday to Oriofe, Marie, and Abigail, okay? Oriofe, Maria, and Abigail. Right, let's go. Jules, take it away.
Happy Birthday to you.
Amen. Let's stretch out a hand of blessing to us. Bless them today. Stretch out a hand towards these three. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing, amazing blessing. And we pray, Lord, would you today fill their lives with your goodness? Would you work in them and through them? And we pray, would today, Lord, mark the beginning of a new year of walking with you, of loving you, of knowing you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give another round, please. Fantastic. Okay, just a couple of things. In a moment, some of the children are going to make a move. But just beforehand, just to mention, at the end of this morning's time, please stay for lunch. There's a whole selection we've got along the back there. We've got a main course. There's some main courses. The drinks are over there and the desserts are over there. So at the very end of this morning, when we finished our service, please stay for lunch. We're going to put some tables out and we're going to be able to share and enjoy. Nick, we've got some visitors today with us. Nick, come and tell us about who's been joining us today.
Yes, at New Life, every couple of Sundays, we have a thing called ECOS. That's what this little badge is. English conversation on Sundays, and we invite people who want to improve their English to come along and spend time with people in the church who want to just chat. And when we have a meal, we invite people to come along. Do you remember the parable of the people who were invited to the wedding and didn't turn up? Well, we had a wedding yesterday at New Life, somewhere up north, and we got a few spaces. So we always invite the ECOS people to come and have lunch. Some of them have wanted to come to our celebration this morning, and I won't embarrass you, but you're very, very welcome. And I've got a little badge here, and I'm going to give this to all the people who are coming along with the ECOS so that they can go first in the queue. So if somebody barges in front of you, don't get resentful, okay? I know people get very hungry by lunchtime. So they'll just be mixing with us, having lunch with us. We'll probably have another dozen or so people. And so if they're at your table, then just be chatty and nice. Thank you.
Fantastic. Now, some of the children are going to be making a move. If you are in year 10 and 11, if you're part of our Ablaze group here at New Life, we'd like you to go and help with the different groups today. So if you can make a move out through the door, that would be brilliant. If you're in Ablaze, we'd really value your help this morning. If you have got preschool children, if you've got children of the preschool, we've got a special, our group's called Sunbeams, and today we've got an extra big room. We normally have a room just beside here, but it's not going to be big enough today, so we've booked an extra large facility for you. Philippa, can you give us a wave? Now, if you've got preschool children, if you can take your children with Philippa, there's a ramp up there, meet outside the door here, and there's going to go up to a classroom in the main school. So if you've got preschool children, now's your time to make a move. Preschool children, grab your buggies, grab your children, grab your babies, just for about half an hour, three quarters of an hour, while Steph's going to speak to us. So preschool children, now's your chance to make a move. If you are primary age, if you're primary age children, then Joe, give us a wave, Joe. So Joe's going to be running a session specifically for you, some activities, some fun stuff, some really good stuff are going to be happening now while Steph's going to be speaking. And so that's very close. It's literally just outside the door and turn left. So if you're parents with primary age children, if you want to stand up now and to go with Joe. Parents, if you take your children, if they are primary aged, with Joe, now's the time to make a move. And if you're secondary age children, sit back, relax, and enjoy.